Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we sit down with Jim Plousis, the chairman of the New Jersey Casino Control Commission, on his background in law enforcement and gaming and how that comes together in his new role at the CCC. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing service for land-based and online gaming, and now sports betting in North America. For more information, visit iGamingPlayer.com/join. James Plousis has been involved in law enforcement in New Jersey for more than 40 years, from a patrolman to a U.S. Marshal to head of the state's parole board. His recent appointment as chairman of the Casino Control Commission is a natural progression, he believes. As one of the cleanest industries in the state because of the diligence of the state's regulatory authorities, Plousis believes that integrity is of the utmost importance. He explains his priorities during his term and about his relationship with the Division of Gaming Enforcement that does most of the heavy lifting in New Jersey's regulatory space. He spoke with me at his offices on the boardwalk in Atlantic City in July. Jim Plousis, thanks for joining us on the GGB Podcast. It's a beautiful day here in Atlantic City, and you've got the best view in town on the boardwalk here. So congratulations on taking the job, first of all, and I'm glad we could get together.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be with you.
Let's start with your previous positions. You were in law enforcement, and later you were chairman of the New Jersey Parole Board. You were overseeing some pretty bad dudes there. Now you're overseeing an industry where everybody's pretty much squeaky clean because of the stringent licensing investigations of the organization you lead here. How does it feel to go from that transition there?
You know, that's a great observation. As you mentioned, I've been in law enforcement 40 years. You know, at a variety of levels. I was a local policeman, I was a county sheriff, I was the U.S. Marshal for the district in New Jersey, and then I was chairman of the parole board. So I've worked in Atlantic City for roughly 40 years in one capacity or another, trying to enhance public safety. And I'm honored to be in this position now. And as you say, I'm not dealing with the people I was dealing with in the past, but I know the challenges the city has. So I think that brings a unique perspective to this position, and my relationship with the law enforcement community, I think I'll serve as well.
Great. So early in the administration of Governor Christie, the balance of regulatory power in New Jersey shifted from the commission to the Division of Gaming Enforcement. You're the second chairman to operate under this new structure. Do you believe the work of the commission is any less important than it had been in previous years because of that change?
No, our mission, as it's been for 41 years, is to guarantee the integrity of gaming.
Right.
Gaming enforcement, of course, through the investigations and the legwork, you know, running around the country to make sure these people and their finances are all legally obtained. Our role is still critical here, and this model has been emulated around the country. In regards to having gaming enforcement and having a commission that checks and balance. Our mission is still there to guarantee the integrity of gaming, and we work closely with gaming enforcement, but we're still as relevant as we were 41 years ago.
Great. Usually the commission and the division are the same page, but there's an instance earlier this year where the commission licensed an individual over the objections of the DG, and I don't think you were in office at that point. Was there any repercussions about that?
No, that's part of the process. Right. That's checks and balance, and everybody's allowed that due process.
Sure.
And that's why we're here. The commission is here and around the country. Even the Indian gaming establishments around the country have, a commission where, there is an appeal process up to that commission. So
sure.
I think, we're not going to agree all the time. Of course, the vast majority of the time we do. But, again, it shows that the system works.
Okay, great. So I guess you know Director Reebok since he's been in law enforcement as long as you have. But what's your relationship with him?
We have a great relationship. Yeah. I know Dave when he was at the Attorney General's office. I worked with Dave closely when he was at the policy office mm-hmm. of the governor's office because he was handling public safety. And the parole board was in that component. So I've worked with Dave in a number of capacities, and now as him being the director and me the chairman, matter of fact, he was the first call I got when Governor Christie nominated me for the position. So we have a great working relationship, and that extends down to our staff. Sure. You know, and just to give you a quick example, for the ramp up of Ocean Resorts and Hard Rock, mm-hmm. we were open till 6:30.
Yeah.
At night and on Saturday.
Sure.
My staff, you know, helps with the registration, mm-hmm. and of course his staff would help with key licenses when we were busy. So I think that just shows that, you know, that our relationship is solid, and we're our sister agencies, you know, we work closely.
Right, okay. Well, he's somebody great to work with. I've told him this many times, but there's always been somewhat of an adversarial relationship between regulators and the industry here in New Jersey, going back, you know, 40 years. And he's the first regulator I've ever heard where the executives actually praise him. So he's a good partner to have.
He is a great partner, and he's an expert, as you know, on sports gaming. Mm-hmm. He's been around the world. He has spoken at conferences in Great Britain. I mean, he has been studying this issue. He was at the Supreme Court when this issue was argued.
Right.
So he knows it intimately, and I give him credit for being such an expert in that field.
Yeah, no question. So, you know, you mentioned integrity is the thing you're focusing on. It certainly is the cornerstone of the industry. What are you going to do to make sure that retains the importance that you've set on?
Well, let me backtrack and say, you know, I have a great staff here, mm-hmm. and I have two co-commissioners, two other commissioners. The vice chair is Sharon Harrington, and the other commissioner is Alicia Cooper. Both have, you know, Sharon Harrington's been here 10 years. Mm-hmm. She's been here through the ups and downs.
Right.
Alicia's been here, I believe, 8 years. And they've been through the ups and downs. And they know, you know, what we're supposed to be doing here,
sure.
as well as my staff. I have a lot of staff. I have some staff that have been here 40 years. And they know what they're doing. And we're a team here. And we're with our due diligence, we make sure that we're continuing the rich tradition of the commission in regards to guarantee the integrity of gaming, not only in Atlantic City, but also in the racetracks, because we do have some jurisdiction there
in
regards to sports betting.
So what have you done to get up to speed? I mean, you mentioned you've been in and around Atlantic City for 40 years, but the casino industry is pretty much of a particular animal. Have you gone to any conferences or anything like that that catch up to speed?
I went to the East Coast Gaming Conference, which, and I've been to a lot of conferences in different capacities, and I have to admit they did a great job. I mean, the conference moved along. They had very informative panels, and, you know, I was able to spend the 2.5 days at the Gaming Conference here in Atlantic City. That was very educational. I have a research team here that has given me a lot of historical data, as well as what's going on in the casino industry, not only in New Jersey, not only in America, but also around the world, mm-hmm. as well as your publication. Your publication is the Bible.
Well, thank
when
you.
You're in this industry, you have to read that. I've learned a lot from that. So I've been trying to get well-versed in the gaming industry, because, again, as you mentioned, this is new territory for me. But I've had the experience of working in government, so I know about regulations and enforcing statutes. And, you know, of course, I do know about, you know, trying to keep bad guys out of things.
Right.
So, you know, I do have the background, you know, that fits. Because, ironically, when the governor asked me about this position, I said, Governor, I said, you know, if I go there, they'll think you know, everybody's going to be arrested.
Right.
They said, well, you know, that's not a bad thing. We want to keep them on their toes. He said, no, this is really, you know, in your alley.
Mm-hmm.
And he reminded me that we've never had anybody from Cape May County on the commission in 41
that
years.
Helps, yeah.
The second most affected county.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm honored to be here and, you know, represent Cape May County.
Right. Well, it's an exciting time to take over with the iGaming really just ramping up. Even though it's 5 years old, we're still learning things about it. Sports betting being legalized. What did you find when you first got here in terms of what the commission was doing under those obligations?
Well, again, as you say, it was exciting times because prior to this, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. Sure. You know, we have downsized dramatically as well as gaming enforcement because right. You know with the closing of the casinos, mm-hmm. we had to readjust. So this gave us an opportunity to, you know, the bounce back, put on, you know, bring back some additional employees
right.
to fill the need with regards to the two properties mm-hmm. and the sports betting. So there's a new energy here in the mm-hmm. commission and at gaming enforcement, but more importantly, there's a new energy in the city and
right.
the region.
Okay, great. Obviously, you know, you probably have gone around to meet all the casino executives in town to introduce yourself. What's your opinion of the leadership in Atlantic City?
I've met each one of them here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They all came in, and we had literally hours
sure. mm-hmm.
Discussions. And then I went to all the properties and met them in their facility to make sure that the commission was doing what we could to help them and what their vision was for the area and the industry. And I'm pleasantly surprised that everybody realizes that we have to expand our traditional market, and we also have to be more of a regional mm-hmm. approach to attracting people here. And that was echoed by all the casino executives as well. And I think it's illustrated in Hard Rock. Hard Rock, during their hearings, made it crystal clear that they are an entertainment business first, mm-hmm. then gaming second.
Right.
And it's illustrated with 300 nights of entertainment here. When Ocean Resorts had their hearing, they knew that they had to expand the market. They're going to have one of the largest top golf facilities
right.
on mm-hmm. the East Coast. They have some special amenities there. They have a big cereal
right.
restaurant that I never heard of, but right. apparently very popular. I know they're looking at some outside-the-box things, and I think that's on a service well. And they all agreed that we have to do more of a regional approach here
mm-hmm.
because before coming in, I went around. I spoke to the tourism directors in
right.
the region. I met with Diane Whalen down in Cape May County, and I asked her what her thought was about helping Atlantic City bounce back. And she reminded me that every year they survey all the visitors that come mm-hmm. to Cape May County,
right.
over a million people in the summer. 30% of them come to Atlantic City for at least one day for gaming,
sure.
dining, or gambling.
Mm-hmm.
So if we just raise that number up, these are people already in the area
right.
that already have assets.
Mm-hmm.
We could have them come up. So if we did a marketing that if it's rainy day like we've had this week
right.
here
mm-hmm.
in Cape May County, come up, shop, eat, and gamble in
sure.
Atlantic City. So when I suggested to some of the executives, I brought that up that I had met with these. I'm just using that as one example, and they agreed that they had to do a better job of regionally saying,
sure.
come to the region, you could do a day at the zoo, and then
sure,
you could do
right.
a day or a couple days in Atlantic City. So that mindset is out there, and I think that's the direction we have to go.
Sure, and vice versa. People just come to Atlantic City could be exposed to the region. I mean, people don't even know the great things that are in Cape May, what a great zoo they have down there, and you know, the historical homes and things of that nature.
Exactly.
Not to mention the family entertainment in Wildwood and everything else on the
boardwalks,
shore.
The right. wineries. Right.
Sure.
I mean,
yeah.
there's a lot to do.
Right.
So there's great overlap.
Yeah, and I think that makes sense. And they've finally learned that lesson in Las Vegas. They're doing some surrounding things there as well. So
yeah.
I think it's an exciting opportunity for Atlantic
yeah.
City.
Yeah, and the CRDA, you know, they have new manager, new leadership over there,
mm-hmm.
Matt Doherty.
Right.
I've known Matt, great guy, Mayor Belmar.
Right.
So he comes with that skill set
right.
of running a municipality,
mm-hmm.
Which the CRDA really is a mini municipality. And also he knows the tourism angle.
Sure.
So I think he's a great fit. He comes with the same vision I do in regards to making this a regional thing. And the CRDA has done regional things.
Right.
You know, as you know, we fund Lucy, which is in Margate,
right.
and we help other attractions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, there's a new energy over there as well.
Yeah, he seems to have brought a new vision also to the CRDA. The past few years, it's been just like we got this mission, and that's all we're
yeah.
going to do. But he seems to be expanding it.
He is, and he's thinking outside the box. You know, the CRDA. We're renting space to Local 54. They're going to do a training program at the old Borough Hall and some space that we're not using, where they're going to help teach people, you know, to do some prep cooking there, as well as some housekeeping. So, you know, we want to help the local people, and I think that's one good example of that.
Yeah, no question. Let's talk about sports betting. How does that impact what the CCC does?
Well, in all the facilities, they will have key employees. Mm-hmm. So as we speak, we've done the gaming enforcement has processed roughly 40 key licensing for us. Right. And then, of course, and we do our review of them and final approval. We see that number increasing. So right now we're dealing with the Racing Commission as well as gaming enforcement in making sure that, you know, we're all working together. This is a unique, because we all have a piece of jurisdiction in the sports betting. And I see, you know, we'll get more and more activity out of sports betting because they'll need, as they ramp up, they'll need more and more key licenses.
Right, right. Well, kind of like iGaming, some of the sports betting companies kind of skirted the legality of gray and black areas. Some of them, you know, decided, you know, when they couldn't enter the United States, well, we're going to just do business in the black or the gray areas. And there, you know, there's a little bit of a sketchy background for some of the companies. Do you have a hard and fast rule about how you're going to view these companies if they come here looking for a license?
There's no doubt about it. You know, integrity is the name, you know, the standard we've had. You know, we've been the gold standard for the world, not only America. We'll continue that. So, you know, if they have a shady pass, they better not apply because they won't get anywhere.
Yeah. So you know, if they've done any kind of business like that, you're not going to
be. We won't be dealing with
it. Okay. Interesting. So what do you think about the future of Atlantic City? You know, we've got these two new casinos open. Of course, it's the summertime and it's exciting. You know, as we get into the fall and the winter, it might not be that exciting. Do you think these will threaten some of the existing casinos that maybe are not, you know, keeping up with others when it comes to capital investments and things like that?
I think we're, as you said earlier, we're at exciting times, and I think the two openings of the casinos made everybody up their game. Mm-hmm. So all the casinos are investing additional money in their properties. But more importantly, we got an additional 3,300 rooms, which will enhance our convention ability here. So I think that, and I've met with other casino executives, and they've said to me point blank, they would be happy with the overflow from Hard Rock. That's the kind of numbers I think Hard Rock's on a drive here. It's a whole new area, a whole new market share that we're going to get, and I think they're going to come here and they'll explore the other properties as well. Mm-hmm. With that being said, as we said earlier, we have to diversify. You know, the Topgolf is an example of that. Right. The entertainment is an example of that. Mm-hmm. The marketing of the region, sports betting has some money in there that will go to the marketing of the Atlantic City area. Right. So I think all that, we have to do our due diligence because I think we have momentum right now going, you know, not only in the gaming industry, but Stockton and other development in the city. If we can keep that going, we'll be able to go through the winter. And I think sports betting, football season, people are going to come down here.
Yeah.
They're going to come down and dine and stay in the casinos. So I think that is really going to be, I think, the thing that keeps some of the casinos who might be on the brink going.
Mm-hmm. You know? At the same time, a lot of the opportunity in sports betting revenue-wise is in the mobile betting. And you're going to have to vet some of those companies that come in there as well. Do you think that's going to be a big opportunity for the state as well?
I do. You know, there's no doubt about it. I mean, people like the convenience. We've seen that, you know. So, there, you know, that will be competition. But, again, I think you're going to have a lot of guys and gals who want to come down here, watch the football game, you know, bet on the football game, and they'll be dining and staying over. So I think even with the mobile devices out there, I still think we're going to get a lot of people coming here for the sporting events.
Right. Do you think Atlantic City or New Jersey has a leg up against other states getting into sports betting because we've already perfected that, the mobile betting and the geolocation and all the technology you need with that in the iGaming sphere?
There's no doubt about it. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. We literally are light years ahead of our neighboring states. But with that being said, we know competition is coming. But I think the casinos are, I think they're going to treat the sports betting people so well, they'll want to come back.
Okay, yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense for sure. So one of the first things you did when you came here was you helped to line up a job fair for veterans for the new casinos. How was that received?
All the seven existing casinos participated, and the two new ones participated. We partnered with the American Legion. It was a huge success. Mm-hmm. Well over 100 veterans or their spouses got jobs. More are still in the pipeline as we speak. We're going to make it an annual event. One of the things I did when I met with the casino executives said, you guys have to be good corporate citizens. One, we got to hire our veterans.
Right.
Two, we got to hire local people when we can, if they're qualified. And we also have to hire people that have gotten out of custody.
Right.
And I have to commend the casinos. They've all agreed and they've all done that.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent 8 years at the parole board.
Right.
These guys need a second chance.
Sure.
Governor Murphy is on the same page as I am on this, as well as our legislators.
Right.
As we speak, Senator Brown has a bill in that if you successfully complete drug court, that you'll be able to get a key license.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key. If you pay your debt to society and you're doing the right things, we got to give you that second chance.
Sure.
And they say the first step in reentry is reemployment.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to get these people working.
No question. Yeah, that's a great thing to know. So is that one of the main things you want to accomplish during your
trip? We are going to do that. We're going to continue that. We will make that an annual event where we take care of the veterans. We've also been working with the local parole office as well as the Department of Corrections, making sure they know that these former offenders are eligible to, for a registration, and in the future they'll be eligible for a key license.
Great. And what are some of the other things you'd like to accomplish during your term?
Well, I want to continue this regional approach that, I spoke last week to the Cape May County Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm.
They were happy to have me there. And I explained to them that we want an overlap. There has to be an overlap. We've joined all the Chamber of Commerce, Cape May, Cumberland, Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to make this a regional approach on marketing the whole area. Because what's good for Atlantic City is good for the region and ultimately the state of New Jersey.
Right.
So that, I want to be, not only we want to guarantee the integrity of gaming, but I also want to be an ambassador for the region.
Okay, great. Now, in the mid-90s, I think it was Chairman Persky that started kind of an outreach to Wall Street to kind of educate them on what the regulatory system was in New Jersey. I know that was continued by Brad Smith after him, and I think everybody else has done it. Is that something that you're also going to do?
Yes. We've done that, and we track quite a bit of data, as you know, here from parking, fees, the room stays, the whole thing. We do make those documents available not only to our state legislators, but also the Wall Street as well, so they can see the trending. We have a great research team here on what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And we do put that, we do push that information out, and I do meet with, Wall Street on occasion if they ask me to.
Right, great. Well, Chairman, you've gotten off to a great start here. You hit the ground running, and we're gonna stay in touch. We like to interview the New Jersey regulators on a regular basis, and we'll certainly do that with you.
My pleasure.
Thanks for joining us on the GGB Podcast, brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing service for land-based and online casinos and now sports betting in North America. To learn more about the service, visit iGamingPlayer.com/join. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. You can learn more about this and all subjects related to gaming by visiting GGBMagazine.com. For weekly updates on the gaming industry, visit GGBNews.com. And follow us on Twitter at Global Gaming Biz and on Facebook and LinkedIn at Global Gaming Business Magazine. That's it for today. We'll see you next week on the GGB Podcast. No one,